Okay, so I have four objectives here, or four topics that I want to briefly touch on in this talk, and I'm going to possibly rip through a couple of them to try to make up for some of our time delay here. First off, you know, what are new media? Not everybody knows what new media are, and there are some different definitions in play. Is it electronic stuff? Is it digital stuff? Is it mobile stuff? It's kind of all of the above, and I have a handy-dandy little chart. New media as an ecosystem. The phrase media ecology was actually coined by the famous media guru Marshall McLuhan back in the 1980s. But at the time, nobody thought about media ecology actually involving the environment, you know, because it was still all about human beings and our technology, and nature is like out there someplace, whatever. And so, grossly oversimplifying all of the models of media and communication into just old versus new, I'm going to make a claim that new media is not only important to us as teaching and outreach and research people, but that it also has far more to do with soil, far more comparability to soil than most communications folks realize. Third, I want to briefly review some of the huge challenges for new media use and specific challenges for soil science. And finally, cut to the good stuff, evaluation methods, and basically just present you some, I will ask you the questions, using examples from some of our presenters here today. Okay, so this symposium arose in part as a response to the kinds of calls for change that we have had in things like this volume I've cited there. The goals of a lot of soil scientists now are to find out how to reach a wider and more diverse audience. As Tom Friedman and David Montgomery have pointed out, when 50% plus of our population lives in a city, how are we going to introduce them to the marvelous subjects we study? Richer communication, more dimensions of soil, deeper engagement, a lot of these things, has seemed to some that new media could be the answer. And it's not just in fields like ag communication that we're involved with new media, and certainly our societies. Is anybody Twittering this symposium? No, I didn't think so. Okay, so it's not just us trying to get involved in it. Health sciences, health outreach, medical communication to the public has been heavily involved in using and then evaluating the success of new media to get important health-related messages out to the public. There's some intersecting fields like risk communication, science and technical communication, public communication in general, which are fields I've worked in extensively. All of these are trying to use new media. And here is a giant map of online communities, very recently produced. The link is on the map. My PowerPoint is online, so I will encourage you to go look at it, because you will spend minutes and minutes and minutes, which is a lifetime in electronic communication, looking at this to figure out, oh, I'm there and I'm there and my kids are way over there. Well, that explains things. What I want to call your attention to in this, however, is that here's all these online communities we've heard of: Skype, Twitter, Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. But in the far upper left there, online communities are the little box surrounded by big territories of email and SMS corporate electronic communications. And those in turn right below it are tiny blips in the sea of spoken language, which is what we all still prefer: face-to-face communication. So a big challenge for old media and new media alike is, how do we supplement face-to-face communication rather than trying to replace it? Okay, again, this table, I would encourage you to just download it from online. I've summarized this from a lot of the literature, and you see that some of the key differences are that, for instance, as I stand up here talking to you, that's old media. I'm in charge, I'm in power, I have authority, at least till Tom gives me the hook. And you're supposed to just sit there and passively let my information drop into your heads, where of course you will all understand what I mean in the same way I meant it, right? Wrong. Okay, new media understands that we have a lot of diversity in meaning and experience, and so communication is always going to be a much more complex issue than we would like to think. New media is not just a change to a new type of technology. The promise and the goal of new media, the hope, is that it will reshape, help us reshape communication to be more of a democracy, less of a monologue, more of a dialogue, less of an authority structure, and more of everybody participating. So the vision, some of the details of that, key features would be that new media is working when it is creating new social formations, the active construction of meaning by people, not just passively waiting for the teacher to tell you what goes on the test. That it's going to be user-built, that all of us are going to be up here like Gene and John trying to make it work. That it's going to be more collaborative, that we're going to bring in more voices, more diversity, that it will be fun in a certain strange masochistic way, trying to make all this new media stuff come out right. That at the bottom, what we're going to end up with, and think now, those of you who are from land-grant universities, we're going to end up at the end with part of that original vision from the Morrill and Hatch Acts. We're going to end up with learner-centered education and wider public participation in where our society goes. So the big question is, right away, how does just a bunch of new technology lead to social transformation? How do we convert technology into social activities? And that brings us inevitably to the theory portion of this presentation. As I say, grossly oversimplifying things down, I would like you to consider that we have this old transmission model of communication, aka the conduit model, the container model, the linear, the hypodermic needle model in public health communication, in which somebody is the info source and somebody else is the receiver, and it's just like I shuttle that meeting over to you and it gets dumped into your brain, which is of course a blank slate, conveniently ready to be written on. And anything else that changes the meaning is called noise. Okay? The problem with this theory is that it is simple. It is basic, it is generalizable and universalizable, and when empirical research started to be done on it in the 50s and 60s, we discovered that it didn't address some of the most important questions, like where do these new ideas come from if everyone is controlled by the message they get? What leads to change? And what about people talking to other people, which is where most of us still get our information from and our most valued information? I would like to compare this to the balance sheet theory of plant nutrition from the 19th century, in which soil was regarded as a blank slate into which we pour nutrients and pull out food and profits. Very simple system. Alas, it didn't actually capture the complexity. So starting in the 60s, we get the other type of model that recognizes that what was being called noise is actually the social context and the environmental context in which communication is occurring. That it's a complex, dynamic process. It is not linear, it's multidimensional. It's got a lot of things happening. And in fact, it's rather like soil. There's information additions, there's losses, there's translocations, there's transformations. It's a matrix system. So we have to play on all these scales and levels simultaneously. Now, there's some challenges in new media, which our participants, by the way, have met very successfully. And first one is accessibility. Not everybody has a computer. Not everyone has the same computer you have. We have this inconvenient, pesky little Section 508 of the Rehabilitation Act, which requires that our online and new media communication be accessible to people with disabilities. That's a hurdle that a lot of the tech people haven't met yet. We have a transparency problem because we want to know who's talking. We still need to know who's controlling the conversation, how real and how biased is what they say. There is an interactivity issue that really, really busy, fun video, audio, new media can sometimes create an illusion of engagement rather than real community participation. And finally, there's responsibility, the challenge of values. You know, what is new media doing? Who owns it? Where are we going with it? Now, very quickly, I'm going to run through five challenges for soil science in particular. We have the MIGO problem, my eyes glaze over, which is that environmental science and soil are very complex and a lot of people just fade out. We have this problem of the low profile of soil. We have Western values of the environment that tend to prefer big, beautiful creatures, not small soil microbes, and that tend to favor splashy, pretty wilderness areas to the agricultural or urban soil landscape. The fourth challenge for soil science is the social perception of science and scientists. And in the book From Faust to Strangelove, that author, Rosemary Haynes, has summarized eight types of science that are depicted in centuries of literature that profoundly influence how we and our students see science or see ourselves as scientists. Which image are we portraying or accidentally falling into portraying? Then last, there's the really complex issue of the politics in science, the politics of science. Soil science is a science, but sciences aren't all the same. Soil science itself has tried to raise its visibility and tackle issues of things that get it overlooked and ignored. Okay, so we have these questions for science and education and outreach. How are we going to harvest new media strengths while avoiding its weakness, make it actively engaging, get across our information on all levels, not just here's content, here's facts about soil, but make people do some critical thinking and get involved. To evaluate our success, I'll just briefly say, we can focus, of course, on any part of the communication process. We can use both quantitative and qualitative tools. I do in my work, I do a lot of this content and discourse analysis. And one fun tool that I'll show you an example of here is what is called Wordles. Has anybody heard of those? It's also known as tag clouds. Okay, Wordle.net is a free online site where an IBM engineer with some funding from IBM developed this qualitative tool. There's some references I've listed here on how to use it as a technical tool, how to use it as an educational tool, as well as a research tool. And what it does is, here is an example. This is one of our presenters here. I will challenge you to guess who from what you see here. The size of the word reflects its frequency in the text that was fed in. What you see here is that soil is being portrayed as very much a biological entity. You see humans in very small letters. You see bacteria are way more important than humans when it comes to soil, or at least when it came to this exhibit. Anybody know which one I'm talking about? Okay, so this exhibit very successfully accomplishes its goal of placing soil into a multidisciplinary scientific context. By contrast, we have someone else's landmark project that also expresses the scientific importance of soil, but in small words, little words, suited to little kids. Okay, and that's the K-12 committee's book. Here you see two views, my next to last slide, where on the upper right, that is the self-description of the object by the creators of it, whereas below you see a slightly different take on it coming from the reviewers. And so here we have something that is emphasizing the relations of soil, not so much to other sciences, but to all those other disciplines called culture and society, art, films, etc. And the reviewers, you'll notice, kind of didn't focus on the poetry as much, I'm afraid, as on the art, the philosophy. So we can see here what Ed and Christian and their authors wanted to put across and what some of the reviewers were most struck by. And then finally, what would this be? Dirt the movie. Notice soil is still very prominent. And notice that Dirt the movie, in its literature about itself, emphasizes the relationship of dirt to humans. And intriguingly, many professional reviewers of the film didn't see the relationship to humans, but to people. So Wordle is a fun tool that will let you look as a quick visual check. It's exploratory data analysis. What kind of point are we getting across? So with that, I will step aside and let the researchers who produced this work tell you themselves. Thank you.